Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, April 18th. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today, and joining us in the studio to answer your questions, Dr. Susan Sekuli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Gilderland, and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. If you have a question about your doggie or your kitty, give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Well, you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number, though, 800-348-2551. And I suggest you get in early. Always a popular show when we do Pets and Vets. Dr. Sekuli, Dr. Dallas, your questions coming up right after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today. And here to take your calls, Dr. Susan Sekuli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Gilderland and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Dr. Sekuli is a graduate of the University of Tennessee College of Veterinary Medicine. She is a member of the American Association of Feline Practitioners and the American Veterinary Medicine Association. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets using an integrative approach with an emphasis on Chinese medicine. She earned a doctorate in veterinary medicine from Ohio State University and specializes in veterinary acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, geriatric care, and nutrition consulting, counseling, that is. Dr. Sekuli, Dr. Dallas, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, and I must say the lines are moving very quickly here, only a couple open, so if you get a busy signal, when you hear somebody hang up, that would be your cue to call. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. We don't always get to all of the emails, but we don't always get to all of the calls. So the best thing to do is call right now, 800-348-2551. You saw a great show about cats, Dr. Sekuli.
I did, Ray. I was commenting that I saw the PBS show, The Story of Cats, which had come out, and it's amazing.
What'd you learn?
I encourage everyone to watch it. It's a two-part series, and I was explaining to you my one fun fact is that cats that roar cannot purr, and cats that purr cannot roar.
That is so,
very
amazing.
Interesting, yeah.
And I always found it interesting, and frankly, I didn't even know this until fairly recently, that cats don't meow to each other, only to humans.
Correct,
now,
yes.
How did that evolve?
Yeah, that's a good question. They probably recognized a response when a person talked to them, and they are very good at continuing a positive response when you see it.
It's all part of their training humans, I think.
Exactly.
Well, Dr. Dallas, I know your throat is giving you some issues here, and I appreciate you coming in.
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
You know, and if you have to take a break and rest your voice, you can do that as well.
Defer to Dr. Sekuli as much as I can.
No, all right. Well, let's get right to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's go over to Parker in Wilton. Parker, you're first.
Thank you for taking my call, Ray.
Sure.
So I have just a quick synopsis. I have a six-year-old male cat. Last week was diagnosed with 104 fever of unknown origin. Had that for about 3 days. Two different antibiotics he's been given. And he was also given fluids, two different visits that we had. Still is a little bit sick, no fever. And the question is that he actually had to have an enema on Monday. And he's still urinating, but hasn't defecated in a couple days. Not eating, obviously, as usual. Giving him wet food. Is nibbling it as dry food. What is the concern I should have, and how long of a time period for a cat to not defecate is there a problem that we have to worry about?
I would probably say the defecation is due to the not eating, so that whole intestinal tract is somewhat stasis or duck. It's interesting you should comment about a cat with a, and we do call it FUO, fever of unknown origin. It is somewhat common. One of my own colleagues or staff members just had a cat over this weekend. A very similar scenario is what you're describing. And we did a number of antibiotics. We did do fluid therapy. We ran tests. Does he go outside?
He's not. He's strictly an indoor cat, has always been an indoor cat. Only cat that we have, so he's an alone cat in the house. And as I said, they are now saying that we should probably get some form of laxative for him. And I don't know if it's a liquid or pill form, but we'll certainly look into that. I just want to make sure that after 2 days, he is eating this, you know, few tablespoons of wet food a day right now. And like I said, just nibbling it as dry food. So he is having intake of material. It's just, I just don't know if there should be a really big concern about after 2 days, 3 days, you know, should we get an x-ray done? Obviously the enema did work later in the afternoon, so I don't think there's any obstruction of an elastic, a rubber band, or anything that he might have ate that would have bound up his intestine.
Right. So if he's eating a normal amount, or at least a fairly fair amount of food, then you would expect within probably a 24, 48-hour period that they should produce some a bowel movement. So, yeah, your concern would be if in 3 days he's eating well but then not having a bowel movement, then, yeah, we go from anything from Miralax to even mineral oil if you're very careful about administering that to encourage them to have a bowel movement.
All right, Parker, thanks a lot
Thank
for the
you.
Call.
Good
we
luck.
Appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. And Dr. Chris Dallas is here, and Dr. Susan Sekulli to answer your questions on this Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. Mark in Salem. Mark, you're next.
Hi, Ray.
Hi.
I have four cats, and the oldest one is 12 and a half. He's semi-feral. He did get his shots when he was a kitten. If he sees me come towards him with something in my hand that he doesn't recognize, he's out of here. He's a very, very sensitive cat. Does not like to, I haven't been able to take him to the vet in years because he just, even if you say the word vet, he just disappears. Recently, he's also an outdoor cat. He's a master mouser. I worm him on a regular basis and put flea medication on him. But we have a female cat that is spayed now, and he and she are kind of buddy-buddy. They follow each other around, and he's kind of nervous acting, and he's been losing patches of fur, a fairly large patch on his right rear hip, and a little bit on each side of the base of the tail. I haven't seen excessive grooming. He's still very active. In fact, he's chasing his own tail sometimes. His appetite, if anything, is increased. He seems to be constantly hungry, which is not. I'm wondering if he has maybe an anemic condition or something, or whether it's just because of the female cat. He's a little nervous about having her as a girlfriend.
Okay.
Or some other thing. I can't take him to the vet. I would like to, but I think it would kill him. He's that sensitive.
Okay. So what do you think, Doc?
I'm curious, what flea medication are you using?
The best one that they recommended there, the top, not front line, but the next one up, the newest one out. I can't tell you what it is because it's been a while since I gave it to him. There are several of them, and the woman that gave it to me she's a holistic doctor down in Easton. She's not a vet, but she has a vet come in. She has Profender. She had the one that she recommended. I gave to everybody, and it's not Advantage. I can't think of the name of it, but that didn't seem to have a connection because he was losing fur before he got this last dose of flea medication. It's come on very slowly. I have noticed that his relatively pale pink nose has gotten paler. inside his mouth when he yawns. He has a pale color anyway, is somewhat less, even more pale.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if he has anemia or something like that.
All right. So what do you think?
You know, it's unfortunately, it's very difficult for us to diagnose anything just based on the signs that you're seeing, and even without having an ability to examine him, that the things that you're describing, you're right, could be many. There are wonderfully safe sedatives that work well now. We work with a lot of feral-like cats, as long as you could trap him in a have-a-heart trap. The fabric type carriers are wonderful because if
he's
you bring
good at,
him
at
in
night
that,
on the bed.
I can sedate him.
On the bed, he's like Mr. He's on top of my chest and everything. I could pop a sedative down. I didn't even think about that.
I think you're smart to try to bring him in to have a veterinarian assess him.
Sedative before he leaves, basically, and then you probably have another one.
We have another one there.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't as concerned until you mentioned the paleness.
Yeah,
then I thought, that needs to be looked at.
And I agree with Dr. Dallas that the choices of flea products, there's many really good ones out there. So if one doesn't seem to be working and the location of where you were describing the hair loss that leans toward a flea problem.
Yeah.
So
all right, we'll take a quick break here. We have Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas, and you at 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets, going along swimmingly. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from the 1850 House Inn and Tavern, historic bed and breakfast on the Rondell Creek in the Hudson Valley, now taking reservations for lodging and dining. Gift certificates available, the1850house.com. Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, partnering in preserving historic New York through advocacy, education, grants, and loans so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing seniors with transitional care and rehabilitation therapy as they move from hospital care to another level of care or home. DaughtersofSarah.org. And Wildbird Junction Backyard Nature Shop, 308 Delaware Avenue, Delmar, offering wild bird seed, bird feeders, bird houses, bird baths, garden decor and tools, binoculars, chimes, and nature gifts. WildbirdJunction.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Number is 800-348-2551. All the lines are full at the moment. So the next time you hear us hang up, that's the time to call. 800-348-2551. Dr. Chris Dallas is here. Dr. Susan Ciculli. It's Pets and Vets. And we go over to Rebecca in Kingston. Rebecca, you're on.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hello.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I have a 2-year-old beagle that I got when she was 9 weeks old, and she was never very well potty trained. She's always sort of peed wherever she felt like, but she's gotten much better, and I've had her checked out. There's nothing structurally wrong with her. There's nothing in her urine, and I would think it was willful, but occasionally she pees while she's sleeping, and she sleeps with us, which is a little unfortunate.
We have
rubber sheets, but
Oh boy.
How much is she? Size puddle are you finding in the morning? Is it like the size of like a quarter? Or are we talking, an 8-inch?
No, it's a full pee.
Let it go.
And she was much better. I was treating her with Chinese herbs and acupuncture. My vet's great, but it's really expensive. So I backed off, and she seems fine until now. It's starting again. And I was wondering,
I've had success with just
twice in the last month.
Yeah, I've had success with just the herbs. I found that sometimes the acupuncture would make it worse, and I never could predict who was going to get worse and who was going to get better with the acupuncture. Like, I would use the acupuncture initially and then just follow up with the herbs. So you may want to consider going back to that route since she responded the first time around. And then rather than have to keep going back for acupuncture treatments, just continue on with just the herbals and see how long that holds her. Otherwise, you know, you're looking, I mean, a chiropractic adjustment is another consideration. Did anybody do chiropractic on her?
No.
Okay. So that would be if she becomes, you know, if she doesn't respond to the acupuncture and herbs, you could try chiropractic once or twice. This is not something that you would probably need to do regularly. And then if you don't find, you know, relief that way, then you are looking at, you know, some conventional drugs to try to help with that. And they are effective. They do work.
I tried those, actually.
Oh, did you try
the... She didn't respond.
She did not respond.
Hmm.
No. There were two that they gave me. I think one was a hormone.
Yep, the estrogen-based.
And nothing.
Oh, boy.
Wow, and yet she responded to the herbs and acupuncture. And I would say that I would go the holistic route then if you did try the medications. And then, again, I would maybe eliminate the acupuncture.
Is there any way to obtain herbs online?
I'm sorry?
Is there any way to obtain drugs for herbs online?
No, or, because they're prescription. And the thing about Chinese medicine is you could have four dogs with urinary incontinence and give them all a different formula depending on their pattern. So your veterinarian would have chosen the herb based on that pattern. But I'm hoping that maybe the herbs would hold it alone. That's what I've usually been able to manage with my patients. And that might cut down on your expense, but... Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Rebecca, thank you very much.
Sorry you're dealing with that. That's a tough one.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We go over to Betty in Gilderland. Betty, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a 2-year-old male cat. We've had him since Christmas time. He was adopted from the Mohawk Hudson Humane Society, where I get all my cats. And he has some strange behavior of licking my husband's and my hair in the evening time.
Eesh.
My cat used to do that.
When we sit still, he gets on the chair behind us and repeatedly licks our hair.
That is weird.
And I've been taking him off the back of the chair and saying, you know, thank you, I love you too, and I put him down on the rug, and he licks the rug.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Interesting. My cat used to do this.
I've never seen such behavior in a cat.
Yeah, I used to wake up. This is going to gross some people out, but I would wake up. My hair used to be about 3 feet long, and my cat would groom me at night, and of course my hair would get caught on his tongue, and he would swallow it.
Okay.
Yeah, and then
yes,
I'd
that
have
did
to
gross
pull,
me out. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. Do you have other cats in the house? Do they groom each other, or is he the only cat?
No, he's the only cat.
Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. So what do we think?
I have worried about him swallowing hair. We have relatively short hair, but him swallowing hair and getting an obstruction. I mean, people get obstructions from that.
Right.
All right. So what do you think?
I just think it's, as you're describing, his ability to give you affection in a very strong manner.
Could it be?
Marking...
Could it be an attraction to a scent of, say, shampoo?
Except he does it on the floor, too. He'll do the carpet.
Yeah, I think it's more the texture of the hair that he's probably more attracted. But that's a good comment that maybe you use a particular hair cream rinse that he doesn't like to smell.
Oh,
that's safe, and then that may keep him from
being. Or maybe a drop of essential oil at night.
Essential oil on it, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. So use a repellent on yourself.
Right.
Great, and you'll repel everyone at the same time. That's perfect.
Maybe some peppermint.
Is there something that cats particularly...
I think there are some cats. Yeah, there are definitely gradations of cats that are more lickers than others.
But Betty wants to know, is there some scent or something that would make a cat would not like for sure?
Like eucalyptus?
I find lavender even. Mm. They don't like that smell as much. So a very small amount of that might be worthwhile to try.
Okay.
Just make sure you use a pure
scent. I don't think there's something wrong with him physiologically that he wants to do that.
I don't believe so.
I don't think so either.
I think I agree with you. It's more behavioral. Yes, and going back to the essential oil, make sure it is one that's 100% pure so that if he were to lick at it, that it is safe for him. Thank you.
And then we can call you Betty with the lavender hair. That's very nice. Thank you for the call, 800-348-2551. Janet in Albany. Janet, you're on.
Yes, I'm calling. I have a four-year-old female cat with gingivitis. She will eat her dry food, but she cannot stand canned food under any circumstances. I had the vet out here last Tuesday, and I was informed that my cat has a little bit of inflammation of the gums. I am feeding her, giving her Beef Fresh Dental with chlorine dioxide in it. And I have a little bit of inflammation on her gums, and I was wondering if there's anything I can do about it.
Okay.
Would she let you get her finger, your fingers in her mouth and
I tried to open her mouth one time to give her Benadryl, and she bit me.
Oh, boy. That's not good.
That's a tough one.
My suggestion would be to start with a dental cleaning to see if that's enough to control this gingivitis. And antibiotics sometimes are indicated, and then it just depends on how extensive the inflammation is. I know we have talked about it on the show that sometimes there's some herbals that may help decrease that inflammation. They call it stomach heat.
Right.
And so you could probably counter that. But I agree with you. We see a fair number of cats with stomatitis, gingivitis problems from the gamut of just a cleaning does a lot to help. And there are actually some applicators that you apply with a sort of like a makeup sponge, and you apply it to the gums so your finger isn't going in there. And that may help
right.
or to the point of having to have extractions done on the teeth.
Did you get the sense that this was
she
early?
She won't let me open her mouth even.
Oh, yeah. She won't. Okay.
Did you get the sense this was an early stage condition, or was it more advanced? How did your vet describe it?
They didn't say, but she was... She had gingivitis when I got her at almost 3 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess
I got her from the Mohawk Hudson Humane Society, and she had gingivitis back then when I got her.
Yeah, as do most cats. And I just, you know, your approach would really depend on how advanced it is at this point. You know, an anesthetic procedure may not be indicated if it's early, but if it's advanced.
He said there's a little bit of inflammation. It's not bad.
I think a dental cleaning would be very helpful. Yeah.
Okay, Janet, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Chris Dallas is here, and Dr. Susan Sekuli and Harriet in Woodstock. Hi, Harriet.
Hello.
You're on.
Well, I have a very lively and seemingly healthy Parson Russell Terrier. Only our problem is that I won't go into any great detail, but last November he experienced some terrible intestinal disasters. Usually he was pooping in the house. It was very urgent. He was getting up at 3 in the morning and 4 and 5, and I was letting him out. And he was really distressed, and I was too. So anyway, it is now April, and my veterinarian put him on an antibiotic called Tylen. Mm-hmm. And he's receiving 1/8 teaspoon of Tylen. He was getting it twice a day, and it worked like a miracle. Literally overnight, the entire condition completely cleared up.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept him on it for a while. He was on a special intestinal food and everything. As I've been tapering him off it at different times, he's now down to 1/8 teaspoon a day, and then I took him off that he'd like skip a day, and then less and less and less, and all of a sudden the condition seemed to be returning.
Yeah.
So my vet, who I think very highly of, said, well, we did all kinds of tests and everything, and he said some dogs have been on this for a very long time, and it'll clear away eventually. My question really is, what about that? The Thailand, it seems to be fine in every other way for his health and vitality. Okay. But what do you have to say about Thailand?
Yeah. So like
since last November.
Yeah. So Thailand is a was originally a pig antibiotic, and it has been identified as a helpful tool for dogs with inflammatory bowel disease, which is a diagnosis that really is usually confirmed on biopsy, but you can infer the diagnosis when you have a positive response to Thailand powder.
Yeah.
You know, in internal medicine circles, sometimes dogs live on Thailand powder for their entire lives. You know, as a holistic vet, I like to challenge some of those conventions, as, you know, for the health of the pets. And I usually have to take a very slow, methodical approach to really looking at the diet as probably the underlying culprit. But it can be risky and a little scary, and because you don't want to disrupt a balance that has been achieved with medication. So I would say if you are planning to continue, you know, with a conventional approach, I don't have a problem with long-term Thailand use. As the holistic vet, I would be, my goal would be to get, you know, your dog off of something like that. But again, it's a slow, gradual, arduous process with setbacks and a lot of dietary changes.
Thank you, Harriet. Now let's talk quickly about that process. Mm-hmm. Now the Thailand works, and doctors, you will say, as long as necessary, but then how would you integrate a holistic approach and know it's working?
I would start with, you know, sort of reintroducing a variety of foods and sort of introduce the gut to a whole new way of living. We've somewhere along the way, we started feeding dogs and cats the same food every day. And I think that's, I have found that to be the source of a lot of what causes chronic health issues, especially around the gut. So my goal is always to eventually have them on a diet that is rich in a variety of foods, just like we eat. And so my goal with a dog like that would be, I mean, I sometimes just start with a teaspoon of a new vegetable, and then the next day a teaspoon of an, I mean, it can take months and months.
So this is interesting. So theoretically then, Harriet, while keeping her pet on the Thailand, could start this.
She could. She
a
could.
A variety of foods and just sort of build it slowly.
Yeah.
All right.
And keeping the food logs are really helpful.
Yeah,
I say
right.
that to all our clients.
Yeah.
Write down exactly what foods so they can keep track.
And I change it daily. I like daily, something different every day, so they don't even have a chance to have a strong reaction.
All right, let's go to Glenn in Highland Lake. Glenn.
Hey, how you all doing?
Good.
Okay, so I was thinking about this for a while because anybody that I come across with a bulldog specifically always states that the animal has bad breathing problems or problems with the tear ducts, you know, these big, like, bags seem to swell under them. And if dogs are essentially, like, genetically altered animals, why hasn't science approached that and actually essentially fixed or improved the breed's quality of life?
Good question. We could. We could. I mean, we have created the problems through selective breeding.
Yes, we have.
So that's, you could say that we have genetically modified them, not in a test tube, but certainly through selective breeding programs that have unfortunately created a lot of undesirable traits and unhealthy traits. You know, when you look at genetically modified foods or other types of organisms, we often take genes from other species and kind of smash them into the DNA of the, and you know, the species that we're working with. So I think that would be a little bit dangerous to do with dogs, but certainly we could breed some of these traits out of them over time.
I think you would need to get the cooperation of the breeders and the look that they're trying to achieve, because I think there's a balance between those two, sadly.
Well, Glenn, that was great. Thank you for that
good
one.
Good question. Good
and
question.
Over to Martha in Northampton. Martha, I'm sorry, you're on.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
We have an 8-year-old boxer who has been really healthy until a couple of months ago. He was diagnosed with lymphoma. And
so
he was started on prednisone, and famotidine, and is currently doing pretty well on that. He has good quality of life, and but I understand it's a short-term fix. And I'm wondering if you could recommend any other kind of more holistic interventions that might be helpful, particularly as things kind of go south, as the vet has said they probably will.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Is this the kind of lymphoma that's in his actual lymph nodes, or is it centered in one of his organs, like his liver or kidneys?
I'm not sure exactly. His at his neck,
okay.
There is well, initially it was quite enlarged. It went down some, but now it's swollen again.
Okay.
And the lymph nodes under his front armpit have also gotten swollen.
Well, this is a tough one. This is one of the most aggressive cancers in veterinary medicine, and it's actually one of the few that a holistic vet would tell you if you ever were to consider a chemotherapy approach, this would be the one to consider it for. And chemotherapy with holistic medicine can actually get some pretty impressive responses, but I'm not advocating for it because I'm not sure I would be able to go that route either. There's a huge expense and there's a weekly, it's very intensive. It's very intensive protocol, but.
Well, we did consider that, but the car ride is not it's like a half hour ride and the vet thought, given his age,
it's a lot.
I didn't think it really made sense.
I mean, and that's something I think you need to decide. You know, if your dog can handle it, it depends on your dog's personality. If he's, you know, outgoing and likes people, it may not be as stressful than if he were, let's say, a dog who cowered in the corner and got very stressed and had to be muzzled to be handled. So it is the one cancer where chemotherapy does make some sense if you want to go for years of survival time. Now, the fact that you've already started prednisone is potentially going to make his response to chemo not as impressive. But holistically speaking, to me, it's all about food, giving him as much fresh home-cooked food as you can afford time-wise or otherwise. But I have not been impressed with animals' responses to the usual herbs and mushrooms and things that I use for cancer with lymphoma, just because it is such a runaway freight train. It's a very aggressive.
Well, Marta, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
we have to take
a quick
break here. Our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Chris Dallas and Dr. Susan Ciculli on this Pets and Vets edition. We'll be right back.
Support for WMC comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans, with weekly tastings stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. Department of Theater Arts, SUNY New Paltz, presenting Avenue Q, a bawdy musical following the people, puppets, pranks of a precocious neighborhood, April 19th through 29th, newpaltz.edu/theater. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio. FortHillAutoBody.com. And Hooked Seafood Company, Latham. Fresh seafood retail market and kitchen with scratch-made lunch and dinner menu, raw bar, lobster rolls, whole belly clams, fish and chips available. HookedSeafoodINC.com.
Not enough bass solos on this program. This is Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets, and we'll get back to the phones in a minute. All right, Dr. Ciculli and Dr. Dallas, a couple of quick emails here. This one's from Don in Amsterdam. I have a 15-year-old Persian Himalayan mix, arthritis and dementia. Is there anything to give him to make his life better in these declining years?
Oh.
CBD?
I'm good.
What's CBD?
I'm going to come right back with that hemp oil.
Oh, the hemp.
Yes. I'll come back to the marijuana.
Okay, and so that has to be prescribed, right? No, you can just go and pick
up
some
hemp.
Yeah,
oh, yeah?
It is over the counter.
Yeah, you can go to, I know Healthy Living in Saratoga, for example, our health food stores generally carry it.
Yeah, they're, it's not truly marijuana.
Right,
that's the difference. And so it is fractionated off into a portion that is both helpful for dementia and the arthritis. Mm-hmm. It is probably my favorite now to use on these older cats. It's great.
All right, this one's from Sleepless in Forest Port. We have a 17-year-old female tabby who's in relatively good health. She does have a thyroid issue, which is controlled with medication. Lately, she has taken to yowling at nighttime, mm-hmm. which is literally loud enough to wake our neighbors who live a half mile away.
Wow.
Our vet had no real clue as to why. Any ideas? And that is from Sleepless in Forestport.
That's great.
Yeah.
I would ask your vet to take a blood pressure. It would be the one thing I always check on a yowling older cat that I have seen hypertension causing that. And if that seems normal, then it just is an older cat thing mm-hmm. that they tend to do.
And the Chinese diagnosis for that would be heart yin deficiency.
Heart yin deficiency.
Y-I-N.
Yin is the sort of the cooling energy of the body and the moistening energy of the body, and that when you become deficient in that, you basically get kitty like hot flashes in the middle of the night, and that makes them yowl. And there are Chinese herbs that can address that.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones we go, and David in New Paltz. David, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for doing a good show.
Thank you.
I had a conversation a couple years back that seems to be working with a indigenous medicine man. And about holistically keeping insects away from people, pets, and also crops. And he recommended, and it seems to be working quite well, a handful of tobacco in a gallon of water. Sit for a week, and then you take the water and put it into a spray bottle, and just spray your cuffs and the back of your animals and even your plants with it, and it keeps the insects away. And I found that nicotine is a neurotoxin found in a lot of insecticides today.
Well,
could the vet comment on that?
Well, I can tell you, as the holistic vet here, my clients have tried everything. I have the most motivated set of clients you can possibly imagine who want to stay away from chemicals, and I have not seen them come up with anything yet that has really, truly impressed me, and I will be sure to pass that information along because somebody will be willing to try it out and report back to me.
Well, I've been trying it for years. I just wanted to know if it does any kind of damage or anything like that, but it seems to be working. It takes care of fleas on the backs of dogs and keeps
it's the ticks
insects away from my tomatoes.
It's the insects. It's the ticks that I'm really interested in because
ticks too. Yeah, you just do the cuffs of your pants. You don't have to do it on your skin.
Right.
Or your shoes.
But people could spray their yard with it, potentially, I suppose.
No, you don't have to do a blanket thing like that, but just where you have enough repellent to keep it away from yourself. It keeps mosquitoes away and stuff like that. Mm.
I'll just tag in now a white cat. Would you have to worry about the coffee stain?
Oh, interesting.
The nicotine stain.
Yeah, or a white dog.
Yeah.
All right,
I don't know. Is that or a poison?
That's true. Good point.
Hey, if it works, I'm willing to try it.
David, thanks a lot for the call.
Cool.
And we go now to Melanie in Richmond. Melanie, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about my dog, Lily. She's about 3.5 years. We adopted her about 6 months ago from the shelter. She's a yellow lab. She was given up basically because they couldn't afford. She was on an allergy spray because she's had recurrent skin rashes. So our experience, she's in her third bout of it now. So what she does is, you know, she'll scratch a lot and then she'll get these like hot spots and like the hair thickens, there's some blood and black debris. I've taken her to the vet. They've put her on. She gets better with a short course of steroids and clindamycin. She was tested for allergies before we got her, from the vet involved with the shelter. And she has a lot of different allergies, a lot of grasses and all that, but she's on a like sublingual spray that we've been using for 6 months. She's on a feed that's sweet potato and salmon, so it's a restricted ingredient feed. And I'm considering this medicine called Cytopoint. I've done a little research on it, but I know people have recommended the raw diet, our lifestyle. She's a great, healthy dog otherwise. I mean, she's hikes. She could hike 8 miles. She jumps. She hikes. She bowel movements are normal. No other health problems, but she does have this pretty bad chronic skin condition that I hear is pretty common in labs.
It is common, especially in the yellow labs, especially.
Yep.
So it's a complicated approach, and sometimes there's rarely a magic bullet that will take care of everything. So I think of it as a pie, and I try to address each piece of the pie and get as much of a positive, you know, effect as I can over time. I do think that a fresher diet would be helpful, but the Cytopoint I don't have experience with. I've heard positive and negative feedback on it. But
it sounds like it's a little better than the Apoquil.
Yeah.
That, the Cytopoint doesn't seem to have the same because, anyway,
But, I mean, for me, this is usually something I treat from the inside out with herbs and diet. But seasonal allergies are tough. There is a new, there was a new study that came out about topical omega-3s in that certain dogs, especially the lighter colored dogs, had some sort of permeability in their skin that if you used omega-3 oils topically, it did help with some of the reactivity. So you may want to look into that. You can find them online. The name of it is escaping me right now, but that might be one other. So again, there are all these different pieces of this pie, and as many of them as you can put, you know, obviously you can't get rid of the grasses and the pollens in your area, so then you deal with everything in your dog.
So those allergy tests, she's been tested for allergies. You think they're pretty accurate?
Well, if you speak to a dermatologist, they'll tell you that the only allergy tests that are really accurate are the ones that involve a combination of a blood test and the injections that they do in your dog's side. So they shave your dog's side and they inject the allergens into their skin. And then look back, I forget if it's 10 days or 2 weeks, they look to see what they've reacted to. The blood tests alone are prone to a lot of false positives. So you can't use that test alone to determine what they're allergic to.
Melanie, thanks for the call. Chris, your voice is holding up pretty well.
I'm doing okay.
You feel okay?
I'm doing okay. I'm feeling all right.
It's the home stretch now.
Yeah, just a little tickle that catches me. But
let's go to Maggie in Mount Vision. Maggie, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I had adopted a kitten 6 weeks old. She had the look of sort of a Norwegian forest cat. She had a lot of fur between her pads. And when I got her, they had said that she had been socialized. She was feral. And when I got her home with my other cats, she went right back into being feral, and it took me a while to get her back into being social. And she became a really wonderful cat. I got her fixed. And then on when she finally learned how to use the cat door, on the third time, she just disappeared. And I'm wondering if she went back, because she was outside, if she went back into going into being feral. And this happened on February 27th, and I've just been concerned about all of the snowstorms and things. A friend of mine gave me a heavy styrofoam box, and I made a shelter for her and put it in a field that I thought she might have gone to. But would it be possible for her to have gone back to being feral, and that would have helped her survive? Do you think she could still be alive?
Yes, I do think that that's what probably has happened, because they do revert back. I have seen it even with cats that are in a household and they happen to get outside that they're not used to. They revert back to that feral attitude and scaredness. And so I think even with you calling her and trying to get her in, she may not be comfortable enough to come to you and know where to come back to.
Could the other cats have sort of, I don't know how to say it, but like ushered her out because she was the youngest? Could there be a jealousy there that they wouldn't want her back in?
I don't know if it's a jealousy. I think alluding to that show that I just saw, the cat story, they're solitary hunters. So in her mind, she may be more comfortable outside now and feel safer than inside with a number of cats. So I don't think it's them.
I've had cats my whole life, and I've never encountered a cat with the intelligence of this cat.
Absolutely
brilliant.
Well, I hope she's still around, and who knows? I've heard great stories sometimes. They are amazing survivors. So.
Okay. Well, let's go to Elizabeth in New Paltz. Elizabeth, you're on.
Hi. So we have a five-month-old tabby kitten. We got her when she was 8 weeks old, and he has sort of a strange habit. He sucks on our woolen blankets at home.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this is. It seems to be happening at night, sometime in the middle of the night. It's not one, but all of the beds, wherever he falls asleep. Mm-hmm. I Googled it a little bit, and it seems like it's a thing, but I can't. Mm-hmm. Seem to find how to stop it and what's provoking it.
The little kitty, 5 months old.
It is. And how old?
It's lovely, but it's quite unpleasant, because we have these spots of saliva all over the blanket.
Right. No, I understand.
And it's not all over again.
I think it goes back to the cat hair.
I was just going to say, the cat licking. Yeah.
But the cat will grow out of that, right?
Some do, some don't. Mm-hmm. Is he Siamese at all? Because Siamese tend to be...
No, he's just a tabby cat.
Tabby?
I got him from someone whose female cat got outside and mated with a feral cat.
Okay.
And he was one of the litter of kittens.
So sometimes when they're weaned too early, I've seen that happen, mm-hmm. where they want to suckle for comfort. And then sometimes it's similar to this cat we were talking about with the hair. It's just their way to comfort. So it is, again, making
all
your...
So it may not go away.
Well, no, I'm not sure.
Well, in my experience, I've had a couple of kittens that have done that. They maybe were weaned too early. Okay. It goes away.
Dr. Ray says yes.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I'm good with this.
And if not, just get some new blankets.
I'm not wool-like.
There
right?
you go. Go without wool.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, thanks for the call. And let's go over to Mario and Troy. You're on.
Hi. I have about a two-year-old male boxer. And I'm a little concerned because he seems to be a little consistently underweight. Last time we had him weighed, it was about 51 pounds. And he just seems to be a little small, a little gaunt. We give him about 4 cups of food. I wouldn't want to say the brand, but it's a premium non-grain dry food every day, and he just doesn't seem to be growing at all. And so I'm really trying to figure out, A, really, should I be concerned, and then B, if so, what should I do about it?
How old did you say he is?
He's not quite 2 yet.
Not quite 2. Oh, and 51 pounds. Okay. So that is pretty small for a boxer. oh, boy.
There you go. You're okay. Yeah, you made it. It's almost done.
So I would consider starting to add some fresh food to his diet. I would not count on just kibble. I won't get into the Chinese diagnoses around this, but there are, explanations for why he may not be tolerating kibble. Some dogs do fine on kibble their whole life, and others just show us from the beginning that they need an alternative. So you could add in some canned food. You could add in some fresh food. And just in the process of doing that, you may be able to put some weight on him. You may also consider getting a good digestive enzyme. And where to find a good one over the counter, I'm not sure I could help you with that. But, talking to a holistic vet who knows how to use enzymes might be helpful as well. But certainly starting with some fresher foods and along with a digestive enzyme may get you what you need, but it can be complicated.
What's the average weight for a two-year-old boxer?
It depends. Boxers run the gamut. They can be, up to 65, 85, that whole
and
range.
And how long do they grow?
He should be fully grown by now. He's 2, so I wouldn't expect him to keep growing at this point.
Well, you want to put some weight on him.
Yeah.
So we have tried to give him fresh food. It's definitely not a consistent daily thing.
Mm-hmm.
But even that doesn't really seem to have produced any kind of long-term effect.
Were you giving him, meat, or what were you giving him?
A combination. We were giving him some fruits and vegetables. We were giving him some meat.
I would probably stick with meat and eggs because he's going to get plenty of carbohydrates from his kibble, and he wouldn't really need the vegetables. If you're doing 2 cups of kibble a day, I mean, I would add like another cup of, you know, of cooked meat, and then consider a digestive enzyme. If that doesn't work, I would get in touch with a holistic vet, and you might want to consider some Chinese herbs with that.
Mario, thanks for the call, and thank you, Dr. Sekouli and Dr. Dallas. You see, you made it through the end of the program.
Yeah.
All right, well done. Support comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting 2 exhibits from the museum's permanent collection, Capturing the Essence and Fine Art Animals. Information at arkellmuseum.org. Rhinebeck Artist Shops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and at 793 Broadway in Kingston, rhinebeckart.com. Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care, and health services since 1998, windyhollowvet.com. And Interactive Media Consulting, a team of online market strategists providing websites, branding, and digital marketing through the Capital Region and beyond since 1996, imediaconsult.com. Thanks again to Dr. Susan Sekouli and Dr. Chris Dallas for being here. Thank you for the great calls. I apologize to all of those left on the line. It just gets too busy. You run out of time. It gets too busy. I'm sorry. We'll get you next time. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell today. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Gordon Fricke is back in the studio to answer your questions at 2 p.m. Right now, stand by for news.